Yeah, I was actually quite surprised. I did know I was in the running for it. An anonymous actually entered me in the competition, and I'm not sure who did it, but this is a post-rule ambassador awards. So, yeah, I was interviewed actually while I was driving hay baler at the time. So, and then a few weeks later, I found out. So it was a bit of a surprise. I actually won the competition, but I knew I was in the running.
So any idea why you were chosen over other people who were nominated?
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out myself. But from my understanding, it's basically because I was awarded the WA Royal Ambassador for 2014, as well as my contributions to the agricultural industry, more so in the Eastern Wheat Belt, I think, through my current role as a specialist consultant for the Department of Ag in Meriden. We're looking at some research projects specifically for the Eastern Wheat Belt in the drier environment. So I think, in a nutshell, there's a few different aspects as to why I got awarded it, and also probably just community involvement within Southern Cross. So a combination of all of them is, I suppose, why I was good enough to take it out, I suppose.
Are you pretty chuffed to be representing farmers in the Eastern Wheat Belt?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a challenge, but I think there's a bit of something good in that. But personally, I like a challenge, and I can't really, as much as I like to be farming in a high rainfall area, there is part of that challenge that I really enjoy. And had I not grown up and been involved in the Eastern Wheat Belt community, such as like Southern Cross and where I am farming in this environment, then I certainly wouldn't have achieved the milestones that I have so far, especially through my role, as I just said, with the Ag Department. That never would have happened. The research projects never would have happened. So it's not until I think you're put in a position that something has to change dramatically from your conventional methods that innovation is born. It's something, something that I'm quite passionate about.
And one of those innovations that were, of course, born in your neck of the woods by your own imagination itself is, of course, the Wesley wheels. You're pretty excited that the invention's come so far and to be recognised now, I suppose, immortalised on the front of the phone book.
Yeah, it is actually. I'm quite gobsmacked as to how far it has come. It was merely just an idea in my head no more than 2 years ago. And I approached the Department of Ag for research funding, and yeah, they jumped at it to help me out funding-wise, and as well as that, they also offered me a job. So to be into our second year of intensive trial research projects, gobsmacked, as I said. It's amazing that it's come this far, and yeah, we've got good data from last year, and hopefully we can do even better again this year with repeating a couple of our trial sites, and really looking forward to the potential that it has within this neck of the woods.
Well, tell us a bit more about that neck of the woods. Have the Wesley wheels got you in good stead for this season? Because it's been a bit dry the last couple of weeks.
It has. It's certainly been an oddball season, I suppose, as every season is these days. But we had sort of 2 to 3 inches end of March of rainfall, which then set us up really nice with some subsoil moisture, and got in early about the 10th of April with some barley and some hay wheat. And yeah, it's currently up about 6 to 8 inches tall. And from there, we kept rolling on, and a lot of which was with our Wesley wheel press wheels. And then ever since then, it started to dry up and dry up. But it was certainly advantageous with the concept, because it meant we could actually throw out more dry soil in the furrow when we're chasing moisture down at depth. So when the moisture level was about 4 to 5 inches down, we could really bust out 3 to 4 inches of dry soil on top, put that into the interrow, compact it, and then we're seeding down into wet moisture and wet soil when conventionally we wouldn't have been. So it was definitely advantageous in that reason. But as for the season, it has dried up since then. We got about 3 weeks ago between 4 and 14 millimetres. And the 4 mils on Red Country didn't last very long at all. So yeah, now there's sort of 6 to 8 inches on top's pretty dry. but good subsoil moisture underneath that.
Well, we've got our fingers crossed that this front that's due to hit the coast in the next day or two may make its way to the eastern wheat belt, Callum. In the meantime, tell us a little bit about the actual photo shoot itself. Have you ever done anything like this before?
No, none of the kind. We had a photographer he's from the eastern states, so he flew out, especially for this, for the WA group. And, yeah, he came out. He was a bit of a city boy himself, so he was quite surprised at the vastness and the openness of the country, but he thoroughly enjoyed it. And, yeah, we just had a photo shoot. It was about 7 o'clock on a summer's morning, and, we had the tractor out. Rolling around, we're doing a bit of forming up at the time. We had some summer rain, and so there was some conventional flat country that we just wanted to form up with our press wheels and make some interrows ready for this year's seeding, which we've already sown. So, yeah, that's what the image is about.
And when will people get their hands on it?
It's meant to be distributed over the next coming few weeks, 3 to 4 weeks apparently. So that's what I've been told.
How are your mates reacting to all of this? Do they know about it yet?
No, they don't. but I don't think that's going to last long. So I'm sure I'll be getting paid out about it, no doubt, sooner rather than later.